You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. It's a special edition of the podcast today as we build up to the action at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. We'll be hearing from the newly knighted Sir AP McCoy a little bit later on in the podcast as we preview every single race on New Year's Day from Cheltenham. We'll also have a little bit of a chat about the latest breaking news in the racing world. Of course, AP McCoy being anointed in the Queen's New Year's Honours list. Sam Norris here hosting the podcast today and joining me, I'm very pleased to say, is Alex Dunn.
Hello, Mr.
Who hasn't been knighted yet?
Not yet. I'm still waiting. Maybe next year.
Are you hoping to make the Queen's birthday honours list?
That would be nice. I think just for anyone to recognise me for anything would be nice. Just, but no, I spoke to AP this morning. Lee Phelps did as well, and it's fantastic. Firstly for him, secondly for racing as a whole. Because I just think it's something that everyone can get behind.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that people were almost waiting for it to happen, and now that it has, I mean, what more can he do? What more can he achieve now? There is very little, really. So it's fantastic news, and as you said, we're going to hear from throughout this podcast.
Yeah, we are. He caught up with Lee Phelps to offer up his thoughts on the decision. I suppose it's great to see, Alex, because people in the racing world have been talking about this for a long time, but it's nice to see it appreciated on a wider scale, because it's one thing people in racing wanting him to get it given a knighthood. Why wouldn't they? But it's fantastic to see it recognised outside of racing as well.
Well, I think he's been racing royalty for so long, but it's almost, when he won Sports Personality, that was mainly because he won the Grand National, which is the race of the year. To anyone who doesn't know racing, that's the one they watch, so that may have led to that in some way. But of course, in the last fortnight, he won the Lifetime Award at Sports Personality, which again, that is for a wider audience. That's not just a Grand National.
Yeah,
that's people appreciating what he's done through the whole of sport, for his sport. And now this as well. It's good. It's deserved. I mean, we're never going to see anybody like him again. Yeah. I mean, we're both fairly young. I might not sound it, but the chances of us seeing something like this in our lifetime is pretty slim, to be honest. So it's one of those things you've got to appreciate. I know a lot of people do. And no, it's super. I mean, you look at other people in the racing world who have received knighthoods.
Yeah.
They are a small, select group, and he fits right in there. So it's fantastic. And I think we're about to hear now from him and Lee. He was absolutely buzzing this morning.
Yeah, that's right. It certainly was. You've seen him on your TV, but he caught up with us here at William Hill. Here's AP in conversation with Lee Phelps.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Well, what an absolute pleasure to be speaking to a knight of the realm. The first time I've ever spoken to a sir, Sir AP McCoy. How does that sound?
Yeah, it's a bit madly. Look, it's something I'm very proud of. I never thought it would happen to me. You know, I think it's great for myself, but I think it's great for horses. And, you know, I think that, you know, hopefully that the sport is getting a little more recognition because of it. And I'm very lucky that I was in the position to work with the people I have and the people I worked for and with, because they really made it happen, really.
It's been some month for you, hasn't it? The Lifetime Achievement Award, the Sports Personality of the Year, the Leicesters as well, of course, being made the ambassador for the Jump Jockeys, and now this. What's this year been like as a whole, having retired? I mean, it must have been like a whirlwind for you.
Yeah, it has. It's been very different. You know, it's something that's very difficult to prepare for because of what I'd done for the last 20-odd years, you know, as a jockey. That was my life, and it was very... you know, my life was very repetitive in terms of I knew what I was doing all the time. I knew where I was coming and going from. Whereas now it's a little bit different to say the least. But look, I'm very proud of what I was lucky to achieve, and I'm a forward thinking person. So look, last year was better than I ever could have imagined. You know, so a lot of people are not lucky enough to retire when they retire to retire the way I have. So I'm very, very lucky.
And you mentioned it being great for the game. You know, it strikes us that the fact that the ambassadorship for the jump jockeys as well, you've obviously got a lot more to put back into the sport as well.
Yeah, I like being involved. I love horse racing, you know, and I'm very lucky that I've been asked to be, you know, an ambassador for, obviously I'm an ambassador for William Hill, but I'm an ambassador for the Jump Jockeys Championship as well for Stobart, and that's very nice. Because it was something that meant so much to me, and it looks like this time around that Richard Johnson is going to win it, which would be great as well, because I think in life you need people to drive you and people to make you more determined and people to challenge you, and no one done that better than him. So I hope that he's lucky enough to be champion jockey. I'd be very pleased if that happens.
Well, congratulations from everyone here at William Hill. It's a richly deserved honour, and have a happy new year.
Thank you.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Sir AP McCoy there talking to Lee Phelps about his recent knighthood, and we do extend our congratulations here to the 20-time champion jockey. He's also very kindly previewed every race on the card for us at Cheltenham for New Year's Day. We'll be getting AP's thoughts regarding all of those races, but a cracking day in action, Alex, and a meeting that I've frequented myself a couple of times.
Have you?
The New Year's Day meeting, yeah.
Through all right for some, isn't it?
Bleary eyes and tousle head.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, it's a fantastic way to start the new year, always. It's not... Well, the quality of racing is not...
it's not the festival.
Well, it's not the festival, basically, is what I'm trying to say there, yeah. But we've got competitive action. You're always guaranteed a big price winner or two. And it looks like, I mean, we've had a few concerns with this meeting in recent years over frost or anything like that. There's a fair bit of rain around, but it looks like Cheltenham is going to be testing, but raceable. And, no, it's great news. A great meeting to start off the new year with.
Yeah, certainly is. Heavy, soft in places is the official going as we record this podcast. So we'll start with a look ahead to the first race of the day. This is the 12:10, a novice's hurdle here over 2.5 miles. It's a Class 3 event with 11 runners down to contest here. And as you'd expect, Alex, some nice sorts in the field.
Yeah, won by Orbison a couple of years ago, who actually runs later on in the card. But there's plenty of these who are interesting enough. Whether we see them at the festival, I wouldn't be so sure, but... I mean, Captain Chaos, already rated 143, has raced just three times. Won a bumper in Newcastle for Tim Fitzgerald. Moved to the Skeltons, was pretty impressive at Utoxeter on debut, and didn't do a great deal wrong last time at Sandown. That was behind, labelled as Oboe. The form of that hasn't worked out as well as it could have done. Labelled as Oboe was a little bit disappointing last time out. But, look, there's plenty of credible dangers here. Champers on Ice, Hawkhurst, Drumley, Sunset, all nice types. It's got the makings of a really warm race, this. So it'll be interesting to see what AP fancies.
Yeah, well, and we can get AP's thoughts on this 12:10 right now.
The Neptune Novices Hurdle has got some promising sorts in it. None more so than Captain Chaos of Dan Skeltons. He was a good winner of a bumper for Tim Fitzgerald. Has done well since Dan's got him. He was second last time at Sandown behind Nibble DeZobo. And that was a pretty good run. Champers and Ice of David Pipes was a good winner of a novice hurdle at Newbury last time. He won a bumper in Punchestown. Has definitely seemed to get the hang of hurdling now. And Hawkhurst of Paul Nicholls looked like he had a race in the bag at Sutter last time on unseating Sam Twiston Davis. He's got Barry Geraghty on board. And the other one to mention is Drumley Sunset of Philip Hobbs's, who was third last time at Cheltenham. He whipped round at the tapes the time before that. Had some pretty decent bumper form. But I do think that Captain Chaos sets a standard here, and I think he's the one that'll win for Dan Skelton.
Interesting that as well. I know a lot of times in these novice hurdles you'll say avoid the runner with a penalty, but the last 2 years, Thomas Brown won it last year, and Obuson, which we touched on earlier, the year before, both carried a penalty or a double penalty, indeed, in Thomas Brown's case. So that shouldn't put you off Champers and Ice, King Muir, or Captain Chaos and Weston Miller. I know that sometimes people will actively just avoid horses with a penalty in novice hurdles. But as we've seen before, in this race, not the end of the world.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And it's the likely race, Captain Chaos getting the vote for AP then for the combination of Dan and Harry Skelton. The second race on the card then at Cheltenham on New Year's Day is the 12:45. We've got a 3 mile, 2 furlong handicap chase here. The dead 8 runners at the time recording are down for this class two. And we know a little bit about these stayers, Alex.
Yeah, we do. Interesting lineup because, firstly, it's going to take some getting this. Really, really testing conditions, you would imagine. And it's basically what stays best that'll win. You've got the likes of De Kerryman, who's returning from one heck of an absence but was in great heart last time we saw him. Beg to Differ is the young and exposed one, if you like, who has plenty more to offer. Alternatif may have turned a corner. It looked a little bit frustrating, but won fairly well at Fontwell last time. Perfect Candidate dropping down in grade a little bit here. Not officially, but this is an easier race than he has been contesting recently, and he's been running pretty well in very competitive races around Cheltenham. Look, there's plenty you could give chances to here. It's not a lottery as such, because you have only got the 8 runners, and it could be a nice each-way race if they all stay in, but... Yeah, stamina, the order of the day, I think, in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hear from AP McCoy, who he thinks will be best at staying in this one.
The 12:45, the handicap chase, is a competitive affair. We'll start with Alternative for David Pipe. He was a good winner last time at Fontwell. He's going to have to improve a little bit again because he's a little bit higher in the weights here. Beg to Differ of John O'Neill's is a horse I've won on a few times. He's been a bit slow to get the hang of chasing, but he has got better. The Kerryman of David Bridgewater's has won his last three but hasn't run for a little while. And the one I like down the bottom, Hollow Blue Sky for Nigel Twiston Davis. I thought his run last time at Haydock was a lot better than his previous performances, and I'm going to go for him at a big price.
Hollow Blue Sky then getting the pick for AP McCoy in that 12:45. Nigel Twiston Davis trains and Jamie Bargay takes the ride in that one. We'll go to the 1:20 now, which is the next race on the card, and the first of the graded action that we've got on New Year's Day. This is the Dipper Novices Chase. It's a grade two over 2.5 miles. We've got 7 runners down to contest this. And at the time of recording, Three Musketeers is a 3-1 market leader. Volnay de Thai is 7-2. 9-2 for Seaward. Midnight Black Line, 11-2. Same price for Orbison. Le Mercure is 10-1. It's 11-1 for Manila Rocco. A decent field has assembled here, Alex, with all but one of the runners arriving here in winning form.
Yeah, you can't really rule any of these out. There's only 7 of them, but they are of top quality. Some really exciting novice chasers here. And in recent years, Oscar Whiskey, Petty Zig, or the last 2 years at least, have won this race. So there are clearly horses in here to be getting excited about. You've got some that are slightly less exposed than others, some that are quite battle-hardened now. Black Lion, for one, who won so gamely last time out around Cheltenham. But it's one of those races that, yes, you'll have a fancy, but whatever happens, you're going to get some probably festival pointers out of the race. Should be a fascinating contest.
Certainly should. Let's hear what AP makes of it.
The Dipper Novices Chase has been won by some very good horses in the past. This season's renewal looks a pretty decent affair. I'm going to start with Black Lion for Nigel Twiston Davis. He won well at Cheltenham last time, beating One Night in Vienna after having a heavy fall there the time before. The Mercury won well at Ascot, beating Thomas Brown, which is pretty solid form. Manila Rocco was a decent horse that I won over hurdles. He had a little bit of a mishap last time when he made a mistake and had to be pulled up. Volna de Tai of Nicky Henderson's was a good winner at Doncaster, and that's pretty good form. But the one I like is Seaward Midnight. He was a decent horse over hurdles. He's taken well defences, winning well at Kelso last time, and he's the one I fancy here.
See what Midnight then gets the votes for AP in the 1:20. We'll move ahead then to the 1:55. This is a grade three handicap chase over 2.5 miles. We've got 11 runners down to contest this one. And Village Vic at the time of recording is the 7-2 market leader. Mon Successeur is 4-1. Tenor Nivernay is 6-1. It's 8-1 about Top Gamble. Seventh Sky is 9-1. Same price about A Good Skin. Little John, 11-1. The Enigmatic Mr. Mole, 12-1. 14s for John Spirit. And Lost Legend and Thomas Crapper round out the lineup at 20-1. What did you make of this one, Alex?
Enigmatic's one word for Mr. Mole,
yeah,
isn't it?
I almost can't say Mr. Mole without adding the prefix of enigmatic now.
Yeah. Certainly quirky, isn't he?
Yeah.
He may benefit from this drop in grade back in the handicap company. If Barry Geraghty can find the key to him, he hasn't so far, but you look at the horses that have beaten him on his last 4 starts, Dodging Bullet, Specialty Hour, Sprinter Sacrosanct, Grugy. you'd expect a horse that's being beaten by those and not being beaten completely and utterly out of sight to have a chance in handicap company. So Mr. Mole could be interesting. Similarly, you've got the likes of John Spirit in here, who has been, you know, dining at not the top table, but tables that are slightly higher than this one in previous years. He'd have to bounce back. And then you've got the horses that are in form, like Village Vic, who's been in great nick, Tenor Nivene as well, and Mon Successor, who's only a five-year-old. It's a really big ask for him, but he's fairly well in here, I think. And off the back of his Ascot win, where he won really quite comfortably, let's be honest, could be really intriguing here. It's one of those races where, again, you can give chances to a few. There's some real old favourites in here. But, no, it'll be pretty interesting to see what AP makes of this, because obviously he's ridden Mr. Mole.
Yeah.
He knows John Spirit very well as well. It is one of those races where you can give chances to plenty, so should be a good one.
Yeah, it certainly is. We know quite a bit about this field. Let's see if AP McCoy has got the answer.
The 155 is a race that Nigel Twiston Davis has won for the past two seasons. His representative here, Little John, has probably got a bit to find on his performance the last day behind Village Vic, who won quite well. He's 3 from 3 this season. He's a little bit higher in the weights, but he'll probably take a lot of beating again. His main dangers may come from a few of the horses that took him on that day. Tenor Nivene of Venetia Williams was third. I think the testing conditions will really suit him. John Spirit of John Joe Neils was a bit disappointing, but he is coming down the weights and he's nearly at the mark. He won the Paddy Power off a few seasons ago. But I do like Tenor Nivene. I think the conditions would suit him and he's my fancy here.
Tenor Nivene then for AP, who I believe he selected last time out as well, Alex. Did he?
I think so. Just a real mudlark, Tenor Nivene, and we reckon it's going to be pretty testing. Yeah. And again, we mentioned before the race, Village Vic in good form, but last time out he was ahead of Little John, Tenor Nivene and John Spirit, not in that order. But it's just one of those races where you would not be surprised if that form does get overturned. But Village Vic has been so good this season, you don't know if there's more improvement to come from him. It's a cracking contest.
Absolutely. Plenty to think about then in that 155. We'll move on to the 230 now, a handicap hurdle over 2.7 miles. This is a Class 2 event with 16 runners down to contest it. Early prices, as we have them at the time recording, see So Fine head the market at 6-1, 13-2 about Ron's Dream. Single Farm Payment is 8-1. It's 9-1 about Fox Club. Dan Emmett is also 9-1. It's 10s or bigger prices for the remainder. And a good bit of strength in depth to this race, Alex.
Yeah, we'll start with the market leader, at least as we speak, who's So Fine, who is a little bit older, but reminds me quite a lot of the horse that won this race 2 years ago, Return Spring, for Hobbs and Johnson. Really tough, loves a large, plenty of runners in a handicap, normally around Cheltenham, and showed that last time. So you can expect So Fine to run well. There's just so many different angles into this. You've got horses that were behind So Fine last time, like According to Trev, for example, was second in that race. We had Billy Dutton back in third as well. There are plenty that you could give a chance to. Ron's Dream's been in really, really good form. She's a really tough mare. You've got Nakara Bow way down in grade here. Granted, hasn't shown much of late, but occasionally just pops up. Of course, won the Cleve hurdle last year. There are so many that you could credibly fancy. Mombe Gold and Batavia, two very interesting unexposed types for the more fashionable yards. And down at the bottom, Dan Emmett and Single Farm Payment, unexposed types for slightly less fashionable yards. You're going to get a bigger price on those two, you would fancy. But there's 16 runners as things stand in this race. If all of them stay in, it's a great each-way race because pretty much everything has a squeak. So fascinating to see what AP fancies in this because, well, frankly, it is a lottery. So hopefully a night's insight will be needed here.
The 2.30, the handicap hurdle, is a competitive affair. So Fine won here at Cheltenham last time. He beat a couple of horses that take him on again. According to Trev, was second that day, and Mumbai Gold finished eighth, but they all went to the last with a chance. I don't think there'll be much between them again. Ron's Dream was a good second last time and a good mare's handicap hurdle at Cheltenham. I don't think she's going to be far away. And one I like at a big price each way, Sybarite for Nigel Twiston Davis, was third last time at Haydock and I think is running into form.
There's AP's thoughts then ahead of the 2:30. We'll move on, though, to the 3:05, which is the next race that we've got to come on the podcast. This is the Relkill Hurdle, a Grade 2 hurdle over 2.5 miles. 8 runners are down to contest this. And at the time of recording, Top Notch is the market leader at 5-2. Cole Harden, 11-4. Virgilio is 5-1. 13-2 about Whisper. Camping Ground, 15-2. Bobsworth in the betting at 10-1. 16-1 for Lil Rockefeller. And Aurora's Estraval rounds us off at 16-1. This looks like one of the better races of the day, Alex. The hurdling division looks really strong this year. And quite a few of these will be breathing a sigh of relief. They don't have to bump into Thistlecrack for once.
Yeah, that is true. Some lovely types in here. We'll go in descending market order. So the two outsiders, Lil Rockefeller and Aurora d'Estraval. Lil Rockefeller's been a revelation because he was moderate enough on the flat, to be honest. But over fences, he's so tough. Really, really game. Likely to find this a little bit too hot, you'd imagine, but a grand horse nevertheless. Aurora d'Estraval hasn't run for nearly a year now. Very, very interesting. Formerly with John Quinn, has moved to Rebecca Curtis. She's been in slightly better form of late. So another horse that maybe not today, but is going places. Bobsworth, interesting. 10-1 at the time of recording. I mean, we all know what Bobsworth is capable of on his day. He's clearly had a few issues. Won over hurdles at Aintree when he beat Simon Sigg. Wasn't disgraced in the Hennessy. It wasn't anywhere near his best, but back over hurdles, he's likely to want a bit further here. But again, interesting. Camping Ground is interesting as well. A horse that we don't know much about, really, but was really well backed in the Peterborough Chase last time when falling, but back over hurdles here. Then you move on to the big hitters, if you like. Whisper, who could be a big price, will certainly go in the ground and did beat Cole Harden at Aintree last year, so could be a big price there. And then Virgilio, who is certainly going the right way for the Skeltons, been very impressive so far. For them, Cole Harden, I think, will take all the beating here, if I'm being honest. He is really tough, the World Hurdle winner last year, likes it round here, and will have come on for the prep run. And Top Notch, who heads affairs, hasn't done a great deal wrong to date, just beaten in the Fighting Fifth last time by Identity Thief. But I mean, you look at the horses that have beaten Top Notch, and they're all good. Identity Thief, Irving, Peace & Co. All adds up to be an absolute belter. For me, this is the race of the day. I genuinely don't know which way it could go. I would not be surprised if any of these won it or went close. So I think I'll just leave it up to the great man himself to see what he fancies.
The Relkill Hurdle sees last year's World Hurdle winner Cole Harden have his second run of the season. He ran okay at Newbury behind Thistlecrack. He had Whisper behind him that day. There's not much between the two of them, having beaten one another on different occasions last year. Top Notch was a good second last time to Identity Thief in the Fighting Fifth at Newcastle. Bobsworth was a little disappointing in the Hennessy, having won over Hurdles at Aintree at the beginning of the year. But I do like Cole Harden. I think he'll get back to winning ways here.
AP, very much agreeing with you there, Alex. Sticking with the World Hurdle winner, Cole Harden. It does look an absolutely belting renewal, that is for sure. The final race to come then from Cheltenham on New Year's Day comes up at 3:40. We've got a listed bumper to close the card. A mile and six is the trip for the 9 runners that go down to post there. And as you'd expect, Alex, in these listed bumpers, we've got a few nicely bred newcomers that we're looking forward to seeing, and quite a few who come under the label of potentially very progressive.
Yeah, it's quite a tricky one, to be honest. You look back in the last couple of years, Modus and Wishful Dreaming have won. They're both nice types. Capeland is going to be, you'd imagine, very popular, making his British debut for Paul Nichols. He won at, I think it was Lyon d'Angers last time. So could be anything. We just don't know about that one. I think the market will be quite indicative of that one's chances. Golden Gate Bridge is going the right way. Jam Session was game when winning at Doncaster. The Blue Bomber won on the, I think it was on the poly track, it was at Lingfield. And Miss Fleming down at the bottom as well, the other one to have won. The rest, well, the newcomers, it's hard to give a chance to, purely because you don't often see a horse making their debut in listed company and winning first time out. But of those with winning form, which is all of the remainder, it's very hard to gauge what one has done up against the other. So it's one of those races where, personally, and this is going to sound massively corporate, and I wasn't planning on it, but William Hill Racing Radio, they'll be talking to Ken Pitterson prior to the race, and there is no finer judge of if a horse has come on from its first run, if it's fit in the paddock, particularly with these younger horses, Like I said, that sounds massively corporate, but genuinely is very helpful.
Ken's keen eye will be put to good use in this race.
Yeah, definitely. So, for me, it's a wait and see. But I happen to know that AP has a bit of an angle into this one. Worth listening to what he fancies.
Yeah, let's get his thoughts now then.
The final race of the day, the listed bumper, Golden Gate Bridge of Mark Pittman's, has been a good winner of his last two bumpers at Exeter and Foss Lass on pretty testing conditions. Jam Session of Ian Williams has battled on well to win at Doncaster. Caitlin of Paul Nichols has won in France last time. A little bit unknown, but has to be respected. The one I like is Miss Fleming, a good winner of her bumper in Warwick last time for David Loder and Harry Skelton. I think she'll maintain her unbeaten record here.
Yeah, I think she's very interesting, purely because we know the ground's going to be testing. This is the last race of the day. It's going to be really churned up. And just the fact that she gets the filly's allowance, she's the only filly in the race, that £7 that she's getting from every other runner could just prove to be key. When it comes down to it, coming up that hill, it'll be very, very grueling. I know it's only over 1.6 miles, so it's not even a normal 2 mile bumper, but you'd imagine they'll go a fairly good clip, and it could just pay to be with the lightest horse. Sounds a little bit basic, but
I see what you mean. Yeah,
it's one of those things that you won't be surprised if that is the difference between them. But I think the one you've got to keep an eye out for is Capeland, because could be a stable star, could be a flop. Interesting to see which way it goes in the market.
Yeah, we'll be fair enough. It's Miss Fleming for AP then, and a rare outside ride for Harry Skelton as well.
Yeah, very true. Obviously Dan does not have a representative in this, but no, I think Miss Fleming's got a chance, this filly by Flemings Firth.
Excellent stuff. There we are then. My thanks to both Alex Dunn and AP McCoy, who've joined myself on this special edition of the William Hill Racing Radio podcast. And do make sure you tune in to Racing Radio on New Year's Day. We've got plenty of action to come from midday with Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Not just Cheltenham, which we've previewed there. We've also got action on the Fibre Sand at Southwell and three other jumpers domestically at Fakenham, Musselburgh and Catterick. There's also an Irish card at Fairy House, so plenty to enjoy from midday with Gary and Pimmers on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Alex, and best of luck on New Year's Day.
Thank you, and a Happy New Year to everybody.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.